Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This podcast may contain coarse language. Listener's discretion is advised. Also, this podcast will obviously contain spoilers for Demon Slayer. Please beware. Listen at your own risk.
Welcome to the Demon Slayer podcast. I'm your host, VLORD GTZ, and with me today, I have a special and new guest. Introduce yourself, sir.
Hi, this is Harshal. I know Varun since, I guess, 2 years now. We met in MSBA class, and I still remember that day when Professor asked everyone to introduce, and Varun is like, I am the guy who has more than 3,000 mangas. I'm like, yeah, I need to go and talk to this guy. But yeah, so we studied together. Right now, I work as an AI consultant, and just like every other guy, I'm very much into anime.
I mean, we always love fellow anime lovers here. And Harshal, you're a big fan of Demon Slayer?
Yes.
So since you're a new guest on the podcast, I want you to talk about how you got into Demon Slayer.
Sure. So back in 2019, I started up with New Age animes after finishing Naruto and catching up with One Piece. I wanted to know what is the New Age anime is doing. So I already had seen My Hero Academia. And while I was researching about New Age anime, Demon Slayer was one thing which is popping up again and again. And that's how I'm like, okay, let me give it a try. And the first episode itself was so intense. And it was enough to sell me on it. So that's how I got into Demon Slayer.
Awesome. Yeah. That first episode is like super emotional. Like, it's hard to find an anime that really kind of grips you right away on like just an emotional core like that, especially with that sibling bond that Nezuko and Tanjiro have that has continued to persist throughout this anime. And I think we see that to continue even to this current amazing season, Swordsmith Village arc. And we're on episode 3, so today we're going to be kind of going into that. And we actually just watched the episode together, Harshal and I. And Harshal, you looked like just super ecstatic, especially in the second half.
Yeah, I mean, the scene where the upper rank just walks into the room, that was so unexpected. Like, you wouldn't expect a Hashira and Tanjiro being in one room, just talking around and suddenly an upper rank entering. That scene is... I mean, I'm trying to find right word for it, but it's so unexpected. And it's a one recipe which caught mine. And at that moment, I was like, yeah, all my focus was on that scene. Yep, that scene is just amazing. That one scene just, I think so, would be the highlight of this season for me.
Yeah, I knew you were hooked when I was like trying to say something about Hatengu's voice actor. Like, we'll talk about this later. I'm too into the scene.
Yeah, I mean, imagine having such strong presence in one room, and then, like, I have never seen I forgot his name. Mist breathing.
Tokito.
Tokito. Yeah, I never had seen his actual technique and that movement when he enters and he just throws away his katana cover and just gets into action while Tanjiro is just calculating things. And I'm like, why didn't I smell him? Why? What was? If I didn't smell him, that means he's an upper rank. He's still calculating. And by that time, Hashira already had threw his katana cover and already fled into action. So, yeah, I mean, those couple of seconds were enough. Like, best highlight of the episode for me.
Yeah, it creates this ambience in the scene, and I think it helps emphasize the experience gap between, say, Tanjiro and Tokito, that Tokito is just ready to go, and we see, obviously, that he was pretty powerful before. He took down the Yorichi Type Zero, the puppet, very easily in episode 2,
yep.
But now we're really seeing him kind of at full force here, kind of going all out. And I think that what's really interesting about this specific conflict that we're seeing between Tokito and the Kizuki Hatengu is that Hatengu at first seems like he just takes the hit. Like, he's just, like, maybe just finished right there. And we learn that, like, Hatengu is multiple demons of some sort. And they all seem to have their own, like, unique abilities and personalities. Kind of like it's... he's multiple personalities in one of some sort.
Yep. To be very honest, it reminded me, like, as soon as the first split happened, it reminded me of I'm trying to remember the name. The Alchemist. Those lust, greed, and those kind of feelings. It's exactly opposite of those feelings. It's joy, anger, and what else? So I feel like that parallelism, my brain suddenly drew that parallelism of lust, greed with anger, joy, and then sadness. At the same time, each one had their own element, like wind, electricity, sonic. So I think so that's what we would be looking forward to, like how many elements can he split into, and will there be clashes amongst these elements when they try to multiply more?
I'm glad you brought up that point about like the anger and sadness aspects to these, because that's actually really what's going on here. So if you translate the names of all the demons as they pop out, like Sekido means anger, literally in Japanese. Karaku is relaxed. Aizetsu, sorrow. They're all representing these different like emotions, kind of very much in the kind of the same way the seven deadly sins are representative in Fullmetal Alchemist through like the homunculi. So yeah, it's a very interesting choice here. And it's cool to see kind of the multiple demons being represented as one Kizuki thing that was already in Entertainment District, as we had Daki and Gyutaro. But now we have that on an even greater scale, and it seems like it's going to be a big challenge for Tanjiro and everyone to really handle.
Yeah, I mean, I could see Tanjiro was trying to calculate, okay, when he got split, what was the part what got regenerated and everything. So that's why I wanted to see that scene again. So as soon as we finish the episode, just to give others context, I went back to the same scene where that Hashira went into action. And from there, I was looking at the part when he first split the head and things like that. So definitely the demon wanted to get split, but question is, why can't he just split on its own? Why did he had to create that kind of environment when he had to get sliced? So two things I'm looking forward to is, first thing, it would be a really interesting backstory, like every other demon which Tanjiro defeats has a backstory. So I'm really looking forward to the backstory. At the same time, I like how Tanjiro is always calculating things and always relating back to his past learnings. It's a great character in general. Yep.
Definitely. And like, he wants to relate to everyone he interacts with, whether they're bad or good. And we see that even some smaller moments in this episode too. I want to highlight Genya, who is, I think, one of my favorite characters, because I love the idea of a guy with a gun coming to a sword fight.
True. I mean, that scene was so good. And again, even in that scene, Tanjiro is like, oh, that smells like a Nichin sword, but it's actually a gun. So again, it's going to be fun to see the weapons evolving as the fights evolve. But yeah, Genya is a great character, but it seems like he's already dead.
he took quite a hit there. And there seems to be a lot of mysteries around him too. Like, there's that tooth that Tanjiro found. What's up with that?
Oh, yeah. That's actually interesting. Maybe he's like a modified version of... I'm not sure. I mean, I'm looking forward to it, but I'm trying to draw a parallelism with another anime which I saw. But yeah, I think so. It's something to look forward to. Yep.
Yeah. And we also had these allusions in a few earlier episodes too about his potential connection to Sanami, one of the other Hashira. He... references a brother in this episode, so it'll be interesting to see maybe that explored more as well.
Oh yeah, I remember. So when he goes to pick up his sword, yep, I just recall that scene. Yep, that would be that's interesting. I was so involved in the fight, I completely missed that scene. Funny that you bring it up. Now I'm quite intrigued by that thought. Yep, that's something to look forward to.
Yeah, and I'm not sure if you remember this from the Mugen Train movie, but they show that Genya was training under one of the other Hashira, Gyome. So it's curious, maybe there's some greater connection there as well.
Huh. I'm trying to remember this scene. I think so. Reason is, after seeing Genya hit, so when Tanjiro visits the headquarters for the first time, that scene made me think of Genya as a side character, and I never actually gave him that much, I would say, bandwidth. But now that you bring it up, I will be going back and watching all the Genya scenes just to make that connection. But that's a very good point, yeah.
Yeah, I think having gone through the series several times at this point, it's interesting for me watching the anime now. I see all these little seedlings that were planted very early on. And it's really cool seeing like everything connect together in a way that I didn't notice before. But it's also really enjoyable seeing like your experience as a first-time watcher and a non-manga reader. Like, just seeing like you're so excited for everything.
I mean, that's one very good justification of not reading manga for me, is because when those scenes happen, I am on my toes. I mean, Demon Slayer has such strong scenes throughout the anime and even in the movie that it's one of those things, I think. So I'm actually, now that you bring it up, I'm interested to see how does manga make that scene come alive. Is it as powerful as how anime made that scene come alive? Because it's a very intense scene, as you see the scene which we are talking about today, when the Hashira and Tanjiro is in the same room. So I'm interested. So since you have read the manga, what difference, like, what is the difference? Is manga able to create the same emotion for you?
I'd say so to an extent. I think it's very tough in Demon Slayer's case for the manga and the anime to really match each other at the same time, because I feel the anime has taken a lot of effort to adapt the series into something that better fits animation. But as a comic, I think Demon Slayer evokes emotion in how like it's paneling the scenes. So for instance, I'm actually looking at the chapter right now on my phone on the Shonen Jump app, and like I'm at the page where Hatengu crawls into the room that Tokito and Tanjiro is, and it's done in a really nice way where like Hatengu is like heavily focused on the front page here, where he's in big, you have a really big sound effect there, and then a reaction of Tokito and Tanjiro underneath. And imagine that you're reading this on your phone or physically, and you turn to that page and you're saying, oh my god, there's just a Kizuki here, just suddenly. It has that like similar shock factor. I think where the anime really kind of excels, though, is the fact that it has animation, and it's able to do these really crazy well animated scenes. I mean, Ufa Table is one of the best anime studios in the game, and they've time and time again one upped themselves on Demon Slayer. And I think especially in this episode, the one that really stuck out to me, the scene was when the bird version of Hatengu, Urugi, sends Tanjiro up into the sky, and Tanjiro's like cut off the foot to like get flying back down. And it's like, man, I remember that scene in the manga, but in the anime, it feels so much more alive in a way that, like, I just didn't imagine before. And it's like, it's so cool to see that.
Also, one more aspect which I think so anime adds on is the music. So that moment when Tanjiro and Nezuko are just playing around while Hashira is in the room with that slow, melodious music happening. So it makes you feel comfortable at that moment. So you are like, oh, it's just a cute scene happening. Let's see where it goes and how they go out and find that swordsmith. And suddenly the music changes. Like, oh, someone is here. And that music changes. Similarly, when Tanjiro falls down with the leg in its the claw still attached to his leg, it's when he looks towards his leg and he sees the person or the demon loading up his sonic attack. That sound effects is what I think so is really capturing, and I'm still trying to understand how would a manga recreate that kind of sound effects, because that cute happening in manga, the way they do it is by making the drawings much more simpler and not like detailed version. They try to make it more cute and the simpler drawings, and then when the serious scene happens, suddenly the drawings are much more detailed. That's one way to do it, but the music really added a lot to this scene. So I think so it's one of the very good examples where anime has overtaken the manga part.
Yeah, I think in that regard I would definitely agree with you. I think like the only part where I feel the anime struggles at times is like the pacing in some of the more lighter episodes, but I feel that's only really been an issue in season one after like the whole spider incident when they went to Spider Mountain and they're in the manor for like 5 episodes. But season 2, for instance, though, that was high octane fight after high octane fight, and it never really felt like it was dragging.
Exactly. And also, again, the studio is doing a great job. I mean, Mugen Train, the animations were next level. The last fight was so intense that even while I'm talking to you about that scene, it's still giving me goosebumps. So yeah, the animation for Demon Slayer, the team really deserves an award for the animation they have done this
time. Yeah, it's wild to think like that was one of the best-selling movies of all time in Japan. And then they came back for Entertainment District and we had Uzui versus Gyutaro, which is insane on a whole nother level. Probably one of the best animated fights of like of the year at the time. And it arguably like upped any of the fights in Mugen Train even. So I'm really curious to see, as we're kind of getting into the main meat of the fights here, how like maybe we're going to see even something more ambitious.
That's true. And the one more reason I think so, the Entertainment District fight was more capturing than the Mugen Train fight scene, is because you see the trio evolving. So initially they were fighting, they were still good, but I feel like the coordination among them is increasing after every arc, and that's something I'm looking forward to, as how the trio coordinate with each other. And moving forward, probably like the coordination is making the fight much, much more fun. How they all three of them are poles apart when it comes to their nature and the way they fight, and their even motives. Everyone has a different motive when it comes to fight, but when they coordination, the way the coordination is evolving through their fights and through their arcs is something I'm looking forward to.
I think speaking on that point too, how do you feel about Zenitsu and Inosuke being largely absent from this arc so far?
Oh yeah, I feel like at the end of the season, they'll show that he might be training somewhere. Oh no, I remember he went on to some, they sent him some far land away where it was super cold. They showed a very, in the first episode, they show a very small scene where he's some of land far, far away. So yeah, I'm actually curious. This is what I like about you, Varun. You bring up those small scenes which I completely ignore because I'm so encaptured in the main story or the main fight going on in the episode that these things just flew past me. So when you bring it up, I'm like, yeah, why didn't I think about it when that scene appeared?
And it's lots of practice and having to talk about Demon Slayer for over 100 episodes now.
Yeah, I can completely see that. Yeah, I'm hoping to develop that eye for those scenes moving forward. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just really excited to see how you feel about the upcoming content, because I love it. One of our other regular co-hosts thinks that this is the best arc in Demon Slayer, even better than Entertainment District, even better than the final arc, which has some insane fights. So
I would agree with him, because episode 3 and things have already got super intense. Like, man, tonight when we started that episode, I expected it to be just another episode. And when even the demon in the pot, I forgot his name again, but when he appeared, I'm like, what, they already found this place? That's, I mean, they are not dabbing around. They are directly getting to it. And it's very unlike the previous generation animes like One Piece and Naruto, where they spend a lot of time setting up the scene and showing up other aspects, and here they're directly cutting to the point. So I wonder if it's just the new age format, or are writers or the animators adapting to the newer generation audience where the patience is less. But I'm not complaining here. I'm just enjoying this.
I think you're bringing up a good point, though, where, like, yeah, Naruto and One Piece spent a very long time kind of building up these conflicts, where, like, we have stories like Demon Slayer, which, even though being one of the best-selling manga of all time now, is comparatively short to a lot of those other bestsellers. Like, it ran for 23 volumes, like, about 5 years or so. And it's, like, it has this kind of, like, fight-after-fight mentality. Like, it's... there's not a lulling point. And yeah, we see that with My Hero too. My Hero's on its final arc. It's also comparatively a lot shorter than Naruto and One Piece.
It's something I'm recognizing that earlier when I used to start an anime, it was a long-term commitment where you spent enough time to know each and every character, and when there's a fight going on, they make connections to, I don't know, long back, and they bring that back connections, and it's basically it's MCU but on a next level, where they connect long back histories together, and that makes me it gave me a different feeling, which I enjoyed, and that's at one place. And this, where, and if think of it in this way, if I 5 years later, when the entire Demon Slayer is over, I don't know when it's getting over, just giving a random arbitrary number of 5, when I watch this again, season 2 gets over, three episode later, the next arc's main fight scene has already began. I wouldn't expect this in any anime which came in the era of Naruto or One Piece. So I definitely see a changing wave here, but let's see if it's common across all animes.
I mean, we have a lot of big Shonen Jump anime coming out soon. I mean, I'm not sure if you watched it yet, but there's a anime called Mashal that is really popular. It's basically Harry Potter meets One Punch Man.
Oh, that's nice combination. That's something I would definitely look forward to. I'm thinking of adding to watch. Is it on Crunchyroll as well?
Yes, it's on Crunchyroll.
Perfect.
But yeah, I mean, we mentioned One Piece briefly, and I want to bring this up because it constantly shocks me. And it's the fact that the voice of the main body of Hatengu is Toshio Furukawa. And guess who he voices in One Piece?
I mean, I want to act like I'm guessing, but I already know the answer because you gave me the answer while the episode was going on. It's Ace.
Yes. Could you imagine that being Ace?
No, not at all. I mean, Ace is a one strong dynamic character in One Piece where he's shown as a responsible older brother, and then on the other side there's this demon who's old walking into the it's completely apart. I mean, that artist, I mean, if you wouldn't have told me, I wouldn't have never made that connection. But I think so he's modulating the voice in a very different manner, because I think so he's reflecting the character very well.
I definitely agree. And I think part of it, I think, comes down to, like, Furukawa is a very veteran actor in anime. He's been doing it since, I think, like, the 80s at this point. It's been a really long time. In fact, my sibling, Lamra Miyasha, they interviewed Toshio Furukawa at Otakon last year. And yeah, he's an insane talent. So I was really surprised that they got him for this role. But also, he has the acting chops to do anything. So I'm not surprised that he's nailing it here. And even for the other versions of Hatengu, those different personalities, they got like an all-star cast here. They got Umehara Yuichiro, who's weather report in JoJo's Bizarre Adventure. Ishikawa Kaito, who's Genos in One Punch Man. Takeuchi Shunsuke, Zack, and the Brawler from Astro Lost in Space and Akudama Drive, respectively. Saito Soma from Moriarty the Patriot as Moriarty. It's all these, like, really talented actors, and they're all just for this one demon.
Wow, that they went all out in every aspect, not just animation, I think so, when it comes to Demon Slayer. And I think so, it's a changing tide where I always like to compare everything back to the place where it's all start, not all started, but for where all, it all started for me with Naruto and One Piece, where these side characters or one arc characters weren't given as much importance. But now this new age animes, they're going all out, and it's really making an impact, because you see the difference of quality of anime immediately, and the And it makes me so involved in that movement that, yeah, I can't even, I don't think so, I even blink when these things, this anime is going on. So I'm completely enjoying this new wave.
Yeah, I think rewinding a bit in the episode too, some of the really hilarious scenes in the episode happened when Haganesuka appeared and he took the sword that they found in the Orochi Type Zero away.
Yep, yep, yep. And I like the way he worded the things, and then Tanjiro's like, no, it's not for you, it's not for you. It was hilarious. And it also shows his dedication towards Tanjiro, where he is like, yeah, let me take care of it. I'll even though, as Tanjiro mentioned it, it's one of the very difficult tasks where a swordsman even might die while resharpening it. So I think this underdog swordsmith with Tanjiro, they're trying to make a very strong connection. And one very good thing which I think is he's working alone in some corner in the village, out of the village, which is a good thing because this village is going to be destroyed at this point. Looking at the entertainment art, I don't think so any building is going to survive after that fight. Already though, the wind part has already destroyed one block of the building, so I'm really glad he's outside of the village right now.
Yeah, no, totally. I think one scene I really loved there was the part where Haganesuka hands the sword to Tanjiro, because in the manga, he suddenly appears from the forest, and then they just switch to the next scene. They don't show him actually give him the sword, and I think, like, it's a small moment, but it shows that connection that he has with Tanjiro, that even though he always has this person of, oh, I'm gonna murder you because you broke my sword, he respects Tanjiro as a swordsman. He wants to create a sword that is worthy of him and worthy of his craftsmanship. So yeah, I'm really excited to see what he does with that sword that was from the Yorichi Type Zero, because I think there could be some masterful work there.
Yes, and also one very important thing which is also a great motivator for him is he doesn't want Tanjiro to die. He's like, the reason why he was training so hard and he comes out in such a jacked up form is he wanted to train so that Tanjiro doesn't die in a fight, because he knows Tanjiro believed in him and he'll do anything for Tanjiro, which builds a very strong connection. And that's why the next sword which is going to come in is going to be a real dramatic one. And I hope it comes in between the fight. Somehow he appears middle of nowhere. And then I'm looking. It's going to be one dramatic scene. I want to know how that happens.
Yeah, no, I think we're at the beginning of a bigger storm here. And it's going to be really hyped. Is there anything else you want to say about the episode before we kind of wrap things up here?
I'm one more thing which comes out of this episode is which ties back to the second episode is the robot which is I think so built after Tanjiro's grandfather.
Oh, the Orochi Type Zero?
Yeah, the Type Zero. One very interesting thing which I see is, why does that robot has the same earrings?
Hmm, that's a good point. I wonder why.
Why would someone go into detail enough to have the same earrings as them? So, it's just so that audience clearly understand that he is connected to Tanjiro, or, I mean, that's one something to look forward to. I mean, you have already read manga, so I can see in your smile you already know it and you think it's just a foolish connection. But in my head, I'm like, okay, those earrings had captured my eye since season one, and I knew that they are significant because they had such a long screen time. So yeah, I'm excited about seeing the entire family tree of Tanjiro when the backstory of Tanjiro appears.
I'm gonna keep silent on this, but I will say, Harshal, you have a masterful eye for detail.
Okay. Yeah. But yeah, I'm looking forward to season three. And thank you for having on my show. I never thought it would be so fun to talk about episode, and I look forward to coming back.
Yeah, no, we definitely have to have you back on here. It's really great not only having someone who I consider an amazing friend, but also someone who's an anime-only watcher for Demon Slayer, because I feel so many people we have on now have read the manga or kind of have been spoiled on what happens. So having someone that's, like, actually blindly going in and can, like, really get passionately excited for the anime is like just so cool to see.
Yeah, I think so. That's one of those twin-edged sword. It's a good thing and a bad thing. It's good because I get to enjoy it. It's bad because I'm behind everyone else and most of the spoilers come on my Instagram feed. So like, that's one of the biggest drawbacks when it comes to not reading manga. But at the same time, I enjoy that surprise element when that animation comes alive. So you have to live with it.
What's your tip for anime-only listeners out there that want to avoid Demon Slayer spoilers?
Yeah, so I use the not interested feature on Instagram so much that now I have stopped getting all the anime reels and all the anime recommendations. So make sure whenever you see a pop-up of any anime, like not the reels which are just fun, but one which have like story into it, or they're trying to speculate things, or people who are reading manga trying to spoil, just keep on saying not interested. It started all with the Gear 5 of
One Piece,
and when I saw that, I'm like, oh, they already released it, and it's I knew it back in when I was in Minnesota. It's not gonna come up anytime soon. So at that time, I realized, okay, I need to stop following a lot of anime channels which do give out this information. So I stopped following them. But yeah, just try to keep these things off your Instagram. You have to proactively do it. Because the recommender system isn't your friend here.
Yeah, definitely not. Like, even for, like, say, manga spoilers, because a lot of manga get leaked, especially Shonen Jump, I've had to, like, slowly weed out who I follow and, like, the types of content I follow. Just, like, don't see it if I don't want to.
Yeah, you have to be very deliberate because your feed is not in your control anymore. It's all recommender engine, so you have to take control by just unfollowing or just explicitly saying that you are not interested in it. Yeah,
Definitely. But yeah, I mean, I guess let's wrap up here. So Harshal, is there anything that you want to plug, whether it's your social media, any projects you've done?
This is something I don't have anything at this point, but probably next episode I'll have something for you guys. Yeah.
Oh, you're keeping us waiting here.
Yep.
Okay. Well, we are waiting with excited ears. But yeah, I mean, definitely keep in touch with Harshal when he's on the next episode. Go check out his stuff. He's amazing.
Yeah, I will. I'll get some more info for you all guys next episode. This was a last minute. I thought I have been friend with Varun for such a long time. I always wanted to experience his podcast. But yeah, next time I'll have something for you guys.
Okay. As for myself, you can find me on Twitter at VLordGTZ, and I write various things for MangaMavericks.com as well as TanamiFaithful.com when I have time. One of the recent things on the Manga Mavericks website is my review of Makoto Shinkai's Suzume, which is an amazing film. I think Harshal can agree on that.
Yeah, I mean, he has a record of getting me on the verge of crying every time. His every movie, I'm a guy who has to deliberately make myself cry when I really want to cry, but that movie is just every time makes me cry. It's just amazing. So yeah, definitely watch Suzume if you haven't watched it. If your name is something you love, you're definitely gonna love this a lot.
Definitely. Yeah, and besides my writing, I do a bunch of podcasts besides this one, which we've ended up jokingly calling the V-Lord Podcast Universe because, like, I do most of the editing on them. And those include the Dumb Weebs Podcast, Saturday Night Shogi, which is Shogakukan focused, and Oversoul Shaman King Podcast, which is about Shaman King. Yeah, so yeah, just go check those out. But as far as the Demon Slayer Podcast is concerned, you can find that on Twitter at DSlayer Podcast, on Facebook at facebook.com/DemonSlayerPodcast, and on the Toonami Faithful website at toonamifaithful.com/DemonSlayerPodcast. And we're on every podcast streaming platform out there at this point. We're on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Podbay, you name it, we're there. So just go look at our episodes, give us a rating or review if you feel like it. And yeah, just enjoy our content. And if you want to support us in any way, we now have a Patreon for both Demon Slayer and all our other podcasts. That's on Patreon at patreon.com/DemonSlayerPodcastUniverse, where you can get early access to episodes and exclusive content such as outtakes or us live reacting to certain episodes, like episode 2 of Swordsmith Village Arc. So yeah, just go over there to the Patreon if you want that content. But that does it for this episode, so we will see you guys later.